we will be informing you quite soon. As I explained to you, Parliament is on recess. We return in August, and as soon as the Minister has made his decision, we make 10 recommendations to the Minister. He then appoints 5. And the Parliament, the committee was saying, you know, we need to work out how you reduce from your 10 best candidates to any 5 which the Minister would appoint. So I think we will be doing quite a bit of motivation as the committee, and we'll see that each and every candidate receives a fair opportunity to be appointed. Again, my appreciation for allowing yourself to be interviewed and agreeing to be a candidate. I thank you. Travel back safely.
Thank you very much, and then I would bid everybody goodbye. I hope I'm going to catch my flight in time.
What time is your flight?
2 o'clock.
Yes, you make it, but if not, they could make your flight later as well. You travel back to Johannesburg?
I'm flying back to Johannesburg.
Yes, so there's enough flights. If you were traveling to Kimberley, I was going to be worried.
No, I think it was the lobby we just needed.
Yes, Mr. Lobby, yes, they'll arrange for your flight day. It's cutting it a bit fine.
We should make it.
Yes.
We should make it. Thank you very much, everyone, and it's been a real pleasure and an honor to be here. Thank you again.
Honorable members, when you are ready, I think you have the time. Yes. Yes. Please take your time and get ready to leave. We are not in a hurry to chase you out.
No, I'm in a hurry to
go. Oh, okay. Take your time.
Nothing.
We are starting formally now, not for the time. The next candidate will be Mr. Willie Renier Dupria. Moss, can you please raise yourself? Dupria or Dupree, you can say it. Dupria. Yes. I'm off the conflict, self Dupria. Honorable Peacock Press, I am good Afrikaans, when you are ready. One company, do not come. Well, more of a near Dupria, there's a sit place for you. Kan gerust binnenkom. There's no net middag, goeiemiddag. Ja.
Of
afternoon. Mr. Dupree, you can sanitize your hands. We have on your left-hand side, we have sanitizer. We have sanitized the mic and everything. If you wish to take off your mask, you can do so to facilitate your speaking. Sometimes people feel a little bit irritated by the mask. We'll introduce ourselves, make yourself comfortable. You are not sitting there because you are because you are in court. This is a very friendly panel. It's not the judiciary or a jury. So please feel comfortable. My name is Tina Jumat Peterson, and I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Police. We are interviewing for the Critical Infrastructure Council. You may be aware that the applicants, we placed two advertisements in the newspaper, print media, electronic media, radio. The second interview advertisement for the interviews had to be placed because we did not have sufficient time, and then we had the restrictions on COVID-19 and we took all that into account. That is why we have to take the president assented to and promulgated the Amendment Act, and that is the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act in 2019, and we're only interviewing now. So we have had a year in which things were really moving all the time. So our apologies that you may have applied very early and you're only being interviewed now. We did the shortlisting. There was a time when we were doing things, we had to have hybrid meetings, and then we went into virtual meetings, and then we did the shortlisting, we had to do the vetting, and then eventually we decided that we had to have the interviews physically. We do have, however, one candidate who's taken ill, so this is our recess period. Parliament is not in session. We may have to interview that candidate during the recess as well. Obviously, the candidate cannot be disadvantaged because of ILYA. So once we have done the interviews, we'll shortlist to a further 10 candidates. Those names will be taken to the National Assembly and then forwarded to the Minister for appointment. The Minister will then appoint 5 candidates. So it's really a process of elimination. Those are the 5 candidates from the private sector and from civil society. We then again thank you for responding to the application, and thank you for availing yourself for an interview. I'm the chairperson of the interview panel. To my left is Mr. Dixon, who is the administrator, and Nopasuto Sahau, who is also assisting with the administration. To my right, I will allow the honourable members to introduce themselves, and you will then be familiar with the panel. Honourable Majozi.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Zandile Majozi from the Inkatha Freedom Party.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Patricia. Surname is Peacock from the ANC.
Goeiemôre, meneer de Pree. Ek is op Pieter Blaas en ek is van die Demokratiese Alliantie.
Morning, I'm Mr. Henry Adresiamani from Economic Freedom Fighters.
Morning, sir. My name is Kenneth Mishai from the ACDP.
Good morning, sir. I'm A.M. Sheikh Imam from the National Freedom Party.
Thank you very much. Your time starts now. It is 12:35. Would you like to just introduce yourself to the panel, stating what you think about yourself, your qualifications, your experience, your perceptions, and so would make you the most ideal candidate for this position? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, my name is Bali Dupree. I'm a civil engineer, And I'm also a professional civil engineer and I'm a professional construction project manager. I've been in this industry this year for 40 years. I've worked for the Department of Water Affairs many years ago. And then I was a member of the South African Police Service for 26 and a half years, after which I went on pension and I worked for a consultancy firm in Pretoria in civil infrastructure for 15 years. And I'm now working on my own as a forensics and contracts engineer. I've been involved in infrastructure, as I said, for basically the whole of my life in various facets of infrastructure. I've also dealt with the construction of the 10 World Cup stadiums, where I was contracted by the Department of Sport and Treasury to look at the World Cup stadiums, the total construction, compliance and completion of that. In the last 6 years, I've also been working for the International Monetary Fund, and I've also been working now for the World Bank, which is an outflow from that. The International Monetary Fund work, as you work for them, you get involved with the World Bank people as well, because they also form part of our missions worldwide. In the last 6 years, I've been assisting them in infrastructure work in 29 different countries in the world. And for the World Bank, I've been working in approximately 6 or 7 countries on this stage. So yeah, infrastructure is a serious issue for me as a civil engineer and as an infrastructure engineer. And when I saw this advertisement, I thought to myself, it's easy to sit on the sideline and cry and be negative, but if you want to make a change, you must get involved, and that is the main reason why I've applied for this, is to get involved and to see what difference you can make.
Thank you very much. Honorable Peacock, you have an opportunity to ask a question.
Thank you, Chair. What is your understanding of critical infrastructure, and why is it so important for this infrastructure to be protected in our country?
Critical infrastructure is all the infrastructure that is of a critical nature to make the country running, like your water, like communication, electricity. If those critical infrastructures are not in place and they are not protected and being sabotaged, then you can have a serious issue on service delivery, and the whole economy can get on a negative effect. If we just look at the pipeline for the fuel line from Durban to Gauteng, how many times has that been sabotaged, and what was the influence on the economy of that, where people just siphoned fuel from that? So it's all those infrastructure that's of a very critical nature to the economy and the running of the economy.
Thank you very much. Honorable Peacock, do you have a follow-up? Honorable de Blanche.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. de Pria, touched on that you served for a very long time in the police. Obviously, the police is the responsible department for the, back then still and up to, you know, 2019, the national key points. Can you just maybe indicate to the panel what your involvement at that stage was, also with regards to the national key points? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It was at that stage, it's, if I can make a recollection, it was in the middle 80s to early 90s. As a civil engineer in the police service, I was involved in the physical protection of a number of key points,
of which this facility where you are sitting is one of them, where we had to look at the security issues around these key points. So I've been involved in a number of them. Others are the communication towers in Johannesburg, in Cape Town, well, basically all over the country. So I've been involved in a number of key points where we were involved in determining the physical security, what should be done, the risk analysis around it, to see what is the risk for various key points, and what should be done to eliminate that risk.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mayor.
It's interesting, Chairperson, to hear that Mr. Dupris was involved even in the security of this place. Having worked here to ensure that there was sufficient security, what is your observation today? Do you see any need? Do you see any improvement? Are you convinced that the security we now have here is sufficient to keep out people with wrong motives? Thank you. And what do you think should be done?
Thank you, Jay. I can't speak on all the CCTV cameras and stuff. I don't know the system that well. But by entering at the entrance there, I was surprised the contractor is working there. And I could walk around, go through the scanner, up to the point where somebody asked me, can they assist me? And then I already entered the building. If I could enter the building this easy for me with the back, nobody knows what's in here. I walked through the scanner without bleeping, and I got into the building, so it's not difficult to come in here with anything. And that's my observation from what I experienced this morning when I came in there. The first time when somebody asked me, can they assist me, I was a couple of meters inside the facility, which should not be the case. The contractor working there, he could have had anything there, I don't know. So, my opinion of what I experienced at the entrance wasn't that very well.
Did the people visit today?
Sorry, ma'am, I got this yellow dot.
That is your COVID tag, please. Don't confuse your COVID tag for a visitor tag. We are all wearing the COVID tag and we're not visitors. But that's a standard question I've been asking. You know, there isn't a single person who walked in here with a visitor tag. But we are interviewing for the Critical Infrastructure Council, and we're sitting in a key point.
That was what amazes me, Jay. I said I'm coming for the interview in room M514, and the first thing he said to me is, phone the person who must come and fetch you. So I phoned Mr. Mbengo's cell phone, and they said they will come and fetch me, and then they said I must go to the COVID sisters. I got this, and the chap on the other side of the gate asked me, where am I going? I said, no, I'm going for the interview, and he opened the gate, and he said, I was just going to sit there. So really nobody asked anything. With this little bag, I could have brought in anything, and nobody asked any questions. So it was really an eye-opener and a surprise for me. I thought that's why I came in about an hour early, because I thought you're going to go through quite stringent security, the COVID, I know, but I was quite surprised to be met with nothing.
I think it's a disappointment we all share. Let's not discuss the security apparatus right now. We all know it's not working very well. I'm going to let Honorable Shumbeni ask a question, because it is on the infrastructure, and then I'll ask Meshu. Honorable Shumbeni.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to ask Mr. Dupri that, according to you, since you worked for so long,
in the SAPS, and you know about the infrastructure here. This one, the security during your tenure, was it like this, or you see a lot of changes? Thank you.
Chair, yeah, it's a very long time ago, sir, but I can, on that stage it was very strict. I mean, when I came here with my police ID card, it was not good enough to get into the facility. You have to have a very good reason why you are here. Like you've been summoned by the National Commissioner or the Minister who sat here for 6 months of the year. So it was quite strict, and I think it's very important that there should be workable security. But as you all know, we are working with human beings, and the human being sometimes lost concentration or whatever the case might be. I mean, that is why we have got all the other electronic type of systems, is to try and supplement the human being, which is a good thing, but which is also not a good thing. Because sometimes the human being see technology as his backup or a supplement, which should not be the case. The first person that you must meet and which must be really on his feet and knowing what he's doing is really the person that you meet at the door, at the scanner. I mean, there was nobody there. I just walked into the building.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shimbeni. Do you have a follow-up?
Yes, thank you, sir. I want to check with you the infrastructure, the critical infrastructure. When we talk about it, we're talking about different places, so to say, whereby security is needed. Now, what I want to find out is that is the public allowed into the infrastructure, the critical infrastructure? And then secondly, if that public is allowed, are they also allowed or free to take photographs in those critical infrastructure areas?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the public should not be allowed in there, unless there's a specific reason for public to be there. And to take photographs inside is, as far as I'm concerned, a no-go. You should not be allowed to take photographs. I can just confirm from my work with the International Monetary Fund overseas. We work with the Ministry of Finance of all the countries. And you're not even allowed to take your cell phone into a facility. There are boxes in front where you leave your cell phone and you're not allowed to take it in. You can only get it when you go out. That is normal practice in many countries in the world where I've been. And if you don't have a passport, if you're there, they can arrest you. And they threatened one of the IMF members with arrest when he haven't had his passport. They see it as a very serious issue. Although we are there on their invitation, you still remain a member of public, and you're not a member of that facility.
Thank you, Reverend Meshu, and then Sheikh Imam.
Chairperson, besides the COVID checkpoint, is there anywhere else where your details were taken? That the security here have your details besides the checkpoint where they gave you the details?
Yeah, yes sir. After the checkpoint for the COVID, I went through the little boom which I opened for me, and I scanned my ID card there and asked me my cell phone number, and that was all.
Thank you, Honorable Shaykhima.
Yeah, thank you. I think I slightly differ with you. Maybe we could agree to disagree. Not all infrastructure should be out of bounds, particularly in taking off photographs. I mean, if you look parliamentary briefing, and I agree with you, security labs is a serious problem, there is no doubt about it. But when people come in here, you've got the statue of our Madiba and everybody that people want to take there. I think my understanding is that it depends on the security risk on that particular critical infrastructure. Am I correct?
That is correct, Jay, but my viewpoint just on it is, if you go into a facility like this and you are being escorted by somebody, to be informed whether you are allowed to take a photograph or not, that's what I meant by that. I mean, if you don't inform somebody what these limits are or what these limits are not, you will not know what to do. This is a total different system or place than where you go into, say, Sasol or Natref or in one of those places. I think it's just for the person who accompanies you into such a facility to mention it to you whether you're allowed to take a photograph or not. Now, I fully understand your viewpoint as far as that's concerned, but I just feel somebody should just tell you, yes, you may take photographs while walking around here, or this area you can take photographs, that area is restricted from photographs.
Thank you very much. Honorable Sheikh Imam, you may ask your question now.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sir, what do you believe is the role of the police and security agencies with respect to critical infrastructure? This must be a very, very simple question for you, judging by where you come from.
I think the police and the security agencies got a really very important role to play as far as key point security is concerned. When it comes to the perimeter on the outside where you enter these facilities, and not to be met by a security guard from a private company, which I've also experienced, that is not the way it should be done. I mean, if you go into a key point security, there should be a member of the police there. Or one of the security agencies, especially if it's a critical infrastructure. I mean, there are other infrastructure where it is not applicable. If you go to the air traffic control center at OR Tambo, if you go down at the gates, there are security people meeting you, there's police, is nowhere to be seen. If you go in there, into that tower, you can cripple the total air traffic control of the country. It's those type of issues that I have. There where you go into the route of the ATNS, there are policemen sitting in the gate there. You just blow the horn of the vehicle once and the gate goes open and you can enter. And at that stage, once you're through that, you are inside the OR Tambo system and you're inside the traffic control area, which is, as far as I'm concerned, a very critical issue for air traffic control in South Africa.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheikh Imam. Honorable Majozi.
Thank you, Chair. In your opinion, what are the key challenges facing the Council and what role should the Council play in strengthening critical infrastructure?
I think the main aim of the Council should be to identify and to prioritize the most important critical infrastructure, which is of real critical nature to the running of the country and the economy as such, and to concentrate first on those issues to get that sorted out and to get them secured, and especially to also compile a risk profile of each and every one of them. You might have a list of 15 of them, but two or three of them the risk profile can be really high. Some of them might be better protected on this stage, you don't know, not that I know on this stage. But it's to get the most critical ones, to compile a risk profile for those critical ones, and to act on that risk profile for each and every one of them, based on the importance on the total running of the country and the economy.
Thank you very much. Honorable Neshu, follow up.
Mr. Duplessis, having worked for both IMF...
No, please, man. Your Afrikaans is not that good, Reverend.
The what?
Your Afrikaans is not good.
The Afrikaans?
It's not Duplessis. The record will show that you were interviewing the wrong person. Not Duplessis, Dupree.
Yeah.
Apologize, please, Reverend.
Thank you, my apologies.
No problem.
And having worked with the IMF and the World Bank, that has introduced you to different kinds of infrastructure security in different countries. Now, if you are elected to the council, would you have one or two that you say you definitely, from what you have learned in other countries, would recommend from South Africa, for South Africa? And if yes, which are those?
Yes, as I've mentioned previously, if we work for the IMF and we go into a country, we are there on the invitation of the Minister of Finance of those countries. It's not that the IMF just goes into a country, you get invited by the Minister of Finance. So, but working with the Ministry of Finance of the various countries, you also work with the ministries with of all infrastructure, roads, education, health. The only ones we, as IMF, don't deal with are military. The military doesn't form part of the infrastructure for the International Monetary Fund because it's highly security. But in all those places where I had been, as I said, you either met by a member of their police service, or even worse, sometimes you are met there by an armed soldier, which can be quite rude and intimidating at stages. But that is how I see it. I mean, your infrastructure and where we went to certain infrastructure to have a look at construction in progress or which has been completed. The first area you walk into is the outside perimeter where you are met by either police member or you are met by military personnel. And they are not there to be your friends. They are there to do a specific function. So that's why I say it can be sometimes very intimidating. It doesn't matter whether you're coming there with the Deputy Minister of Finance. The same procedure apply to everybody. They want to see your passport. They want to know why you are there. You will complete all the documentation. And if they're not satisfied, they just don't allow you into the facility. And especially, as we've already said, your critical infrastructure should be of such a nature that the people who protect that facility is not there to be your friend. It's there to do a job. And the job is to protect the critical infrastructure. And that is what is really of a concern to me.
Thank you very much. Honorable de Blanche.
Thank you, Chief President. Mr. de Pree, you obviously have vast experience in this field. And you have also covered a lot of ground already. But I just want to get to the point here, there will be something specific, and I'll get to that now. Name the key strength from a technical and leadership perspective, and as I said, you covered a lot of ground already, which you will bring to the CIC if you are appointed, and what do you think are your areas of growth? You are, let's say for a moment, assume that you are successful. What are you bringing to the CIC, and what do you think, what do you still need to learn and, you know, in the process? Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Well, my opinion is I've got quite in-depth knowledge of security. Especially of military and police. I've been working in a number of countries where I've been invited
to the police and military installations. I've been to Russia, I've been to China, I've been to the UK. So it is to see what is working, what is not working. My strength is in doing risk analysis, because it's part of my career as a professional construction project manager. You must know what are the risks in your design, in your planning phases. You must know exactly what are the risks that you are looking at. That is from the basis of you working with a certain critical infrastructure area. To know what are the risks, to identify those risks, and to know how to identify those risks. I think that is one of my strengths that I can add to this council. To learn, you always grow. The day you say to yourself you can't learn anything more, that day you can die, because there's no sense in living anymore. It is a question of growing and growing into it. And once you get into the Critical Infrastructure Council and you start knowing which direction what will be going, to focus into that and to grow into that area, and to see where are the weak points and where are no weak points. That is my opinion.
Follow up, please, President.
Honourable members, I'm going to be very strict, because I'm not cutting down on your time. We're also facing a challenge of load shedding today. I'm sure the announcement was made that we may go into stage 4 load shedding.
Last I heard was stage 2, sorry.
Sorry, yes, it has now been shifted to stage 4. So, I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm not asking you to stop, but we don't have the luxury. Don't take luxury questions. Take necessary questions. Do you understand the difference?
Chairperson, I think based on what you said, okay.
I think you have a luxury question. It's a necessary.
It's a vanity one.
Yeah, I like it when you say vanity, because that's a word he learned from me. I like calling them vanity questions. He's on television calling me vanity question, but he really has a vanity question. Honorable Shembeni, you normally ask necessary questions.
Thank you, sir. I wanted to find out.
Are you sure that's a necessary question,
yes,
or a vanity question?
This one is necessary.
Good.
I think I wanted to find out if was there at any stage whereby the South African government needed your services, because according to your experience, I think there should be some times whereby your services was needed and then you denied them, or you wanted to provide your services to the South African government and you were not given that opportunity. Thank you.
To be honest with you, we've in my capacity on my own company, which I'm working for now, which is me and me, I haven't tended except for this invitation, which when it came up, I thought, yes, this is what I should do. In the company where I've worked for, we've tended for numerous projects where we were not successful for reasons by the different entities where we tended. This is, if there's any tenders coming out for this type of work, for specialists like this advertisement that came out here, this is why I've applied immediately. Because as I said earlier, you can sit on the sideline and cry, but that's not going to bring anything anyway. If you want to do a difference, get into the field and start playing the game. And that is why I'm sitting here, hopefully.
Thank you very much. That was a very important question. Honorable Mesha. I can see his eyes.
I'll
tell you. Fine. Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Chair, is it okay if I take my other question and think it to save time once again? Well, thank you very much, sir. I have no doubt that you have a lot of experience both on the security cluster section plus on the construction field, and that helps the issue of infrastructure, particularly in this council. And you also, in terms of what we see, observed and identified the challenges that we're already experiencing. Could you tell us very quickly, how would you deal with this? But very importantly, you know what happens in the country at the moment and worldwide in terms of corruption and collusion and things. You're going to be a council of 13 members, in my understanding, if I'm correct, Chairperson. And how are you going to deal with a situation if it arises where 12 members want you to do a certain thing, and ethically it is wrong? How are you going to react to that? And added to that question is, have you ever been involved in any, or have there been any allegations of corruption or collusion, or been charged for fraud or dereliction of duty, or brought before any disciplinary hearings while you were with SAPS many years ago? If you can just very quickly round it up.
Yes, if I'm in a situation like that and you have a number of members sitting and it's against your belief, I will not go for it. That is my straightforward answer. That is who I am. While I'd been in the police, there were allegations against me at one stage for corruption and theft and that sort of stuff, which was investigated in depth for months and which was just dropped. There was nothing further from that, and I was just informed that the total exercise was cancelled. So yeah, that was the only reason at that stage. To which of my amusement was really, I don't know why it was brought against me. I could prove anything that was brought against me. And when I was given the opportunity to do so, we were 20 minutes into the proceedings, and then it was just stopped.
Thank you very much, Honorable Moss. Honorable de Blanche, you may ask. I'm being very good to you today.
I just want to, as I said, Mr. Blair's got very extensive experience, and I think there's one thing that he forgot to mention. Sorry, I'm not I'm not standing in for you to be interviewed. Mr. De Pria is a world-known expert in shooting ranges. And I think that is maybe something that is also part of what the specific area, and I think you should tell the panel about it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I've been involved many, many moons ago, very long ago, when the firearm regulations were compiled, inclusive of the safekeeping of ammunition, of explosives, firearm, shooting ranges, small firearms, large firearms, where we sat with the SANDF, SAPS, and at that stage SABS, to compile all these specifications. We dealt with it over a period of about 10 years. So coming from that, and my ballistics, I'm not a ballistics expert, but I've worked with ballistics for many, many years in SAPS, in forensics engineering. So I know very well trajectories of firearms, bullets, etc. And from that, I've been asked to develop these shooting ranges with specific purposes, because shooting ranges has got a huge safety area behind the abutment wall for if there's bullets going over it. But in South Africa, we don't have the luxury in places like Cape Town for a shooting range where you have 2.5 kilometers behind the butt wall open area where there's nobody and nothing happening there. So we've developed specific shooting ranges where you can shoot basically outside but still within a build-up area. Also indoor shooting ranges, I've done numerous indoor shooting ranges for companies like BG Glass and those people. And yeah, that is my experience in that as well.
Thank you, Honorable Moss.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. With your experience, I want to ask this question. Stakeholders' relationships. Managing key stakeholders' relationships is an important responsibility of the CIC. At times, stakeholders can be very demanding. Describe how you manage unreasonable stakeholders' expectations.
Sorry, Chair, I couldn't hear your question very clear. If you could just repeat it for me, I'll appreciate it. Thank you. Sorry.
Stakeholders' relationships. Managing key stakeholders' relationships is an important responsibility of the CIC. At times, stakeholders can be very demanding. Describe how you manage unreasonable stakeholders' expectations.
To deal with the stakeholders, my opinion is if it's in the CIC cluster or in the CIC space, is to deal with each and everyone on his own. I mean, we're working with the risk profile of your critical infrastructure, and the various stakeholders must understand. I mean, it's a question of sometimes educating people in understanding why you're doing certain things, why the one has got a higher priority as the other one, and why there's a difference in the risk profile. It's a question of discussing these issues and interaction. Sometimes there's a lot of interaction not taking place, and then certain people feel they've been disadvantaged in a certain field versus others. When it comes to the infrastructure, it's a question of discussing those issues and have interactions with all the stakeholders at all time. Because if you have an informed stakeholder, you have a stakeholder who understands what's going on. But if they're ill-informed, they don't know why you're doing a certain thing there and why you're not doing a certain thing there. It's all about communication and information.
Thank you very much. I can see you have a follow-up.
Chairperson, I observe for the last few years, particularly when it comes to anger management on the issue of riots or toys, that some people getting very frustrated. And how can you advise us on how can we dealing with this kind of behavior?
I'm not a riot police expert. But I think it basically comes back to our previous discussion point. It's a question of information. Information and interaction and discussion. Sometimes I feel for some people who are rioting because you can clearly see they haven't been communicated with. And if a person knows what's going on and is informed, then it's interaction. A person, if you talk to him, sometimes feels, yes, somebody is prepared to talk to me. And if you're prepared to talk to me, then I'm somebody. But if you just ignore people and you don't inform them and you don't talk to them and interact with them, frustration will boil. I mean, there's no argument about it. I feel sometimes so where I stay, where you have substations that doesn't work and nobody's communicating with you why it's not working and when it's going to work it's interaction, it's communication, it's just basic communication, interaction, and giving information.
Any further questions? I'm glad that there are no further questions, because I would like to give you an opportunity to ask us questions. Is there anything you would like to know from us before you leave?
Thank you. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here. It is a great opportunity for me, and I feel honored to be here. I think in the introduction you mentioned everything which I wanted to ask. I mean, you've explained the whole process from here on. It was also stated in the advertisement like that, and it's also in the act, the processes and procedures that you are following. I just want to thank the panel and yourself for inviting me. It was an honor to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much for availing yourself for the interview. You know that the defense, the Home Affairs, State Security Agency, police, that they are also part of the Infrastructure Council. I don't need to tell you that. Obviously, you do know that. We do look at your qualifications, your experience. What your experience, are you sure that you will not be part of the krachtdadigheid of the old apartheid police?
No.
There's overreach and excessive violence even in our democracy right now. And this physical overreach by the police, it's something which is concerning for us.
No, with that I can't agree with you 1%. I fully agree with you 110% on that. It's no argument about it. It's a question of if you work with critical infrastructure and you work with the other members on this panel, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. It's all about infrastructure, and it's going to the protection of infrastructure and how the infrastructure should be protected, and not about you as a person trying to push your view. Either you have a view or you don't have a view. As I've been asked previously, if there are 12 people against you and it's against your belief, then you walk away. Infrastructure is either correct or it's not correct. Security is either correct or it's not correct. There's not a grey area in between that, as far as I'm concerned. But as far as krachtdadigheid is concerned, now it's a question of, as we've said, discuss information and interaction, and that is the way I've been working. I mean, with the World Cup stadiums, I've been working with 10 contractors and 96 subcontractors on some of the stadiums. Like Cape Town, there was 96 subcontractors, and you have to sit with them, even if we sat for 15-hour meetings to sort out issues. I mean, the issue must be sorted out. It's not whether I like it or whether somebody else like it. There's a specific issue, and that issue must be sorted out, because it's costing money and it's a risk, and it can be a serious issue for the country.
Thank you very much for availing yourself, and as you understand that there's time frames, we are in recess. As soon as we return from recess, the committee will adopt the report, refer it back to the National Assembly, and then refer it to the Minister for Appointment. Probably when it gets to the Minister for Appointment, there will be another process of vetting. You know that. So the first process of vetting is preliminary, and then when they propose appointment, they will go into another level of vetting.
I appreciate that.
You are aware of that. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure meeting you and a pleasure interviewing you. Thank you, Mr. Dupree.
Thank you. Thank you to the members.
And please don't tell, this is broadcasted, it's not live. Or else it would give the candidates who come after you an unfair advantage. So we are broadcasting it once all the interviews are done. But it's very difficult to hear on national television that the key point, like the parliament is actually just so lacking in security. It's very disappointing.
That's not what I meant with that.
colleagues, to say the prayer, we'll usher you out and thank you very much once more.
Sorry, Chair, I just want to inform that General Hinidabad passed away last night.
Oh, so you friends, did you declare the fact that you Oki's friend?
He was in the police, I'm in the police. I just informed him about a mutual colleague who passed away.
But you must inform him of life.
Chairperson,
yes?
You noticed that Honorable de Blanche was also became the candidate because he was...
I told you we can put de Blanche there and interview him as well. Thank you very much, Mr. Dupriya. thank you. Okay, gaan met jou vriend. Is my zo'n vriend. Nou sien ons nou wie was al die krachtdadige politie. Okay, jy was also krachtdadig.
Chairperson, have you noticed, Chairperson, that both these people from the police force have been very soft on him? Did you notice these two gentlemen?
That's why I'm saying they must declare. They must declare their conflict of interest. Okay, you must declare your conflict of interest. Ooh, Chef Benny. Yeah. Andres. Norman Andres, you have a bias when anybody comes in here who's a policeman. No, Andres. Andres and Oki, you have to declare your bias here. Are you done, Sutu? Colleagues, I had proposed that we do another candidate and then take lunch. They saying to me, sorry? Are you hungry?
Yes.
Where is the food? Is the food here?
No food.
There is the food on that trolley. There is the trolley. Colleagues, it seems as if most of you would like lunch. Let us take a short break and then we call in another candidate. Take your food to your seats. Don't spend too much time talking. Someone told me before that there is a generator, but I walked in the dark in this parliament. I don't believe the story of a generator.
Two.
Yeah, but we don't know which areas. They sent a schedule, eh?
But what was our finishing time now?